that we are in the new covenant, not in the Mosaic order. Hebrews says the Mosaic order is growing old, becoming obsolete. Its focus, when it says that, is the temple priestly system of the Mosaic order. But that was so much a huge part of it. So what gets preserved? The new covenant is made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, and then it goes from there to the nations. But it's made with Israel, promises the forgiveness of sins, promises the preservation of Israel. All that's in the statements of the new covenant. But it assumes that you're going to write the law in our hearts. And so it's assuming that what the teaching of Moses that is universal gets written on the heart. It's taken over into the new covenant. The teaching that is universal is in the new covenant. And the Jewish pattern of life that's there is promised to be preserved as part of the new covenant. So that's how that works. Now, I want to say my wife, Patty, now, you know, I said that we've been married 47 years, but I didn't tell you that we started courting 50 years ago this fall, 50 years. And so we talked to a couple that was 58 years married, and they said, it's nothing. But Patty is a prophetic administrator for me, does the itinerary, but she also gets prophetic messages, does prophetic teaching, and if we come again, she'll have to do more, but she's going to do this presentation, which she got from the Holy Spirit about what I shared, and it's very powerful, so I want her to present this to you as the climax, and then we'll receive an offering, go to the book table, take in the cards.
Okay, first of all, I want to tell you that God is, as you know, is just amazing, and he has created, made his creation so that we're mutually bless one another. If we were all the same, you wouldn't need me and I wouldn't need you. But he sets up these relationships of mutual blessing. And years ago, when I was struggling, you'll see what this has to do, because I say that you don't understand Jew and Gentile until you understand male and female. And, you know, with all this striving today of equality and gender confusion and everything else, and not understanding God's intent and purpose. And so when I was struggling with what's in it for me, being in, you know, submission with, you know, and that becomes sometimes a very bad word, especially if those have been really abused and wounded. And the Lord gave me revelation from the book of John, especially from John 17, about these relationships of mutual blessing. And showing me that when you're in authority, you're in a position to give life and lay down your life. When you're in a position of submission, you're in a position to receive life. And you know, if you've ever been a teacher, I've been a teacher, if you have a rebellious child that closes their heart, you can't teach them. Right? So you need to have these open hearts towards one another to be able to receive the gifting and calling from each one. There's that mutual honoring. And so I did it with water cups pouring, you know. Here's God the Father pouring into Yeshua and Yeshua pouring into his disciples, because he says, the words that you have given me, I give to you. The life, the water, you know, the love that you've given me, I give to them. Now you go, it's like it's a water wheel. I mean, it just the blessings just keep on going. And when you get your roles right and understand what your purpose is, the life wheel just keeps going and going and going. It's wonderful. And I would teach my kids, because their role as children is gratefulness and obedience. When that happens, it just gives me so much life to pour more into them. So when they would get rebellious and other thing and not follow order, I said, are you giving life or taking life right now? And so that's just a little sign. You'll understand when I get to this thing about grafting. But another little nugget is that when you understand that God worked with Israel for 2,000 years. Remember the passage in Isaiah where it said that they were supposed to give birth to the nations of the world? you know, bring them into salvation, and they gave birth to wind. And they were not able to bring that world redemption. And then lo and here, the church is birthed, and it's now 2,000 years plus that the church has been birthed. And guess what? Where's the world redemption? We haven't done it either, and we've got the power of the Holy Spirit. So what does God have in mind? Maybe a marriage, right? You know, the one new man, and it's for this grafting in, and when we truly become one, like a husband and wife, because it says that the man and woman to become one, and Jew and Gentile to become one. And I'm so glad that Dan's not a woman, and he is so glad that I'm not a man. And it's just, we just marvel at the differences, and he supplies what I lack, and vice versa. It's a beautiful thing. So if we can get to the first slide, I'm going to read this, but this is something the Lord gave me as I did some research and prayed about this principle of grafting. I'll read it, because this is probably kind of hard. But grafting is a technique used to join parts from two or more plants so they appear to grow as a single plant. The tissues of one plant are encouraged to fuse with those of another. As I'm reading this, I think you'll begin to grasp, tie together Dan's message, okay? Both tissues must be kept alive till the graft has taken place, usually a period of a few weeks. And grafting a branch from a young, good fruit-bearing plant is joined to a plant that has an older, established, good root system. The new branch that grows from this union will be exactly like the plant it came from, yet contain some characteristics of the rootstock. So you get that? If you take these branches, you can. They've done this where you can take apple and a pear or whatever tree and graft it in. It doesn't bear the kind of fruit of the rootstock, but it bears the fruit according to the branch. Isn't that amazing? But it has a benefit of being grafted in because the rootstock of an old orchard produces hardiness, drought tolerance, and disease resistance. Grafting is a labor-intensive and requires a great deal of skill and can be very expensive, and therefore is only done when it is truly necessary to produce a superior fruit. Let me go to the next one. Slide. The next slide. Or is it? Okay. Oh, it's one of those things I did. Well, just keep clicking until the whole slide comes up. Okay, good. It provides better fruit and higher yields. These are reasons for the grafting. Now, think about the Jew and Gentile relationship. You can also think about this in terms of generationally, so how important it is for the children to remain grafted into their parents and honoring them because they'll be farther along in life. And so it produces better cross-pollinization, provides young branches for an old established orchard whose fruit-bearing ability is greatly diminished, provides a developed root system for young branches that need the benefits coming from the sap of disease and insect-resistant and drought-tolerant roots. You see, there's a lot of gray hair in here, and you're not retired. Hopefully you've got relationships with the young people because they need your wisdom. They need your drought-resistant sap. They need your life because you can be able to declare to them, having lived what you've been through, that God is good and there's no wickedness in him. And I'm in the process of memorizing all these scriptures about old age and bearing fruit and leaves never withering and all that kind of stuff. So that's good. Repairs damaged plants. And then this part, last one I really like. When you have that branch, young branches grafted into the old orchard, it increases the growth rate of fruit-bearing trees from 8 to 12 years to really produce a good harvest down to 2 to 3 years. Isn't that amazing? Okay, next slide. So the preparation, so there you have the old orchard being cut back. Oops, there it is, cut back. Instead of just digging up the old orchard, they kept the old stumps. It reminds you of the stump of Israel or something, huh? Now, this is something The stump must be cut deeply to expose the live layer, the live cells. That's like the circumcision of the heart, isn't it? In order for Jew and Gentile to become one, there has to be a deep cutting in each of us to cut away that pride and that arrogance that I don't need you or I'm better than you. I've replaced you. All right. The next slide. You just skip the one about the timing, but the timing is important because this way, 2,000 years of Jewish history and 2,000 years of church history, and then there's a coming together. There's a timing is very, very important. All right, then the branches also, like, they're being circumcised too. They're being cut so that they can be grafted in to the mature orchard. And then, see how, slide, and now keep going. Oops. Keep going. Now, the next slide after that. See how the little branches are grafted in? Isn't that interesting? All right, and then you go to the next slide. These are just the different conditions on this one. I won't go through that. And then you go to the next slide. See all those branches growing? And then, this is a good part, the next slide. Fruitfulness. Why do you have men and marriage? Fruitfulness, you get to have babies, you know? And this is God's intention for Jew and Gentile becoming one, that world harvest. We couldn't do it without each other. And this is what we have to see, that we each supply something to, in this union that's necessary for producing babies. We want world redemption. We want world harvest, don't we? So it's about time we get this together, get it right, so that Yeshua would return. Amen? I think, is there one more slide? Spiritual application. You know, think of the grafting as covenantal relationships, transference of blessings, maturity unto fruitfulness, bearing fruit in like kind, relationships for comfort, strength, and healing in the last days. You know, you can apply this so many ways of, you know, Apostle Paul, when he, in the Corinthians, when he was going through the litany of all the suffering he's been through, and he says, open wide your heart, you know, because I've poured out myself and my life out for you. Now, in fair exchange, open wide your heart. You know, everywhere Dan and I travel, I'm always looking to connect, because there is something so powerful when you make connections. And it's for fruit. You know, God is going to make a great harvest out of all these wonderful relationships that last for a lifetime, an eternity, I believe. All right, Dan will be able to answer questions now. Isn't that beautiful? You could probably apply this many different ways, but sometimes pictures are really helpful.
But I think it's really important to note that the distinction of kinds remains in the grafting in. Everything is not just homogenized. When people from the nations are joined to Israel, they don't just become Israel and lose those ethnic identities. And the kind of fruit they produce is a variety that fits those ethnicities in their art, in their music, in all of their expressions, and in the languages. Every language has facets of expressing things that it's lost in another language. But in the age to come, we're going to be able to understand all of the richness of all the multicultural varieties in a biblical multiculturalism. Because in a biblical multiculturalism, all cultures aren't created equal, as in our leftist, crazy, political correct people. Cultures have to be evaluated by Scripture. But all cultures have things in them that are good and beautiful and true and to be preserved. And so we have a non-relativistic multiculturalism in the Bible. But it's evaluated. We don't just accept everything. Oh, it's their culture, so it's okay. You know, They have polygamy, so it's okay. They eat people, so that's okay. You know, one time I was talking to a woman, she said, I believe that all religions are equal. And I said, all religions? And I said, you know, there are some people that are, you know, have religions where it's a religious thing for them to eat other people. You know, there are, you know, like in Borneo. And she said, oh, I don't like eating other people. But if that's their religion, who am I to judge it? All right, questions about what we've shared tonight? Anyone? Wow, it's so comprehensive. I've taken all your questions away, and it's just like it makes perfect sense, and there's nothing that is puzzling to you at all. Is Donald Trump really a Jew in disguise? Do you know Donald Trump is the first president that has Jewish grandchildren? What does that mean? I don't know. I can't figure it all out. Can you? Nothing. Well, it was a good time with you. I hope that these recordings will help you. And we'll get papers and materials and books and things so that you can be a Jewish connected church that also celebrates the richness of the Christian heritage and the Jewish heritage, both, and respect the Christian heritage too. Celebrate the feast as the Lord leads you and sing Christmas carols. Amen. Don't forget your cards.
No, stay up here for if you would, please. We want to take an offering for Dan, but then I just feel like we need to have a prophetic moment. I don't know what that means. So I think, you know, we're not going to dance around or anything, but I just, when you just shared, it's kind of, hey, we're going to dismiss you guys. Oh, but by the way, we feel like the Lord said this about you. And I didn't want to walk out and miss that without doing something kind of before the Lord in a time of just, I don't know, in a holiness way. And I want to do that before we take an offering for Dan. And I just was talking to Rory back there, and I don't want to, you know, I'm not trying to embarrass Dan or anything or his, or when we look to IHOP and to Bethel and a place like this, we want to receive from those guys. We think they have so much to offer, and they do have so much to offer. But when Mike Bickle says, what do we need? What does our folks need? We have 5,000 people here on staff. They need Dan Juster. And he brings in Dan. He says, my people need this. And I think because we're not that familiar with you, I was upset last night a little bit at just the amount of folks that didn't come a little bit. I was thinking, what could I have done more? And, you know, we were kind of midweek and all that. And this is not a statement of, you know, I'm not disappointed. But Dan looked at me with just this total joy in his heart and said, well, I'm not disappointed. We were supposed to come, and that's all you needed. And that's just so phenomenal to me. But I just, let's go back just quickly and if you would, saying, I mean, you and Patty came here and you feel like the purpose was to connect with us and to bring this teaching. Would you just take a time? Could we get the elders up here? And I just would like to make a statement. So Brock and Mark and Dave, if you would. I just want to make a statement before the Lord of just blessing you. And maybe you and Patty could in turn pray over us. Would that be okay? And this is more of hopefully representative of our whole body here at Restoration and Pagosa Springs, blessing Israel, blessing what the Lord's doing here. Well, this is a desire of our heart, is to for real stand with Israel, not just in our theology, not just in our intercession times, but have some things come out of it. And you've given us some real clear ways to do that we're going to move forward on. But I just want to make a statement here before the Lord tonight. Well, you guys are here with us because you're leaving in the morning. And so, you got that one. Don't steal my mic.
So what I think is happening here, and we'll see what happens. I mean, we did this with Mike Bickle, even though we did this sort of in 1990, we did it again about 16 years ago where we just made this covenantal thing. And I think that what it is that we're kind of like your proxy or stand-in where you're covenanting as a community to be rightly joined to Israel. And by being rightly joined to Israel, it's the concreteness of being rightly joined to a movement in Israel of Jewish believers that is more like unto you. You know, one of the things that Patty said, that the grafting has to be compatible with the place it's grafted into. You can't graft any branch into any tree or root system. It has to be compatible. And so you could try to be grafted in and connected to non-charismatic, dispensational, non-Holy Spirit-oriented ministries in Israel. You could do that. But it's not you. Where are the people among Jewish believers that are like you? And there's a reason that you chose us to come. And I think that we're a concrete connectedness of you in Israel. We live there. We're part of a movement there, as well as in the United States. And I think that what we're seeing prophetically here is that we are being joined together. I don't know how often we could even get out here, but we can send others. But you're being joined with us for the salvation of Israel and the redemption of the world. And we go out in world missions too. So let's just pray and see what the Lord is going to say in this joining time. Amen.
Good. So yeah, guys, why don't you guys, let's just stand. I don't know. We can have a significant moment in God that seems insignificant. There's not that many people here. We're on a Wednesday night. But I just feel like this is a significant moment in God, in the destiny of restoration and what he's doing with us. And so anyway. So Lord, here we are. I'll just encourage you guys to pray in the Spirit. If you have a spiritual language, to pray to the Lord. Just let's take a minute and just get before him and just get in tune with the Holy Spirit. Father, I just want to call to your mind our prophetic history. The things that you spoke about this city, the things that you spoke about this particular church family in 1990, and maybe even before that, that we don't have record of, but what you have been saying about this place and about us, this significant relationship, this special relationship to Israel from this little town in the mountains, that somehow nations are going to be touched and you're going to send nations here. And Lord, I thank you for this moment that you saw this. You've been seeing this moment. And Lord, you know the significance of it. And Lord, right now, we just want to partner. We want to understand the significance. We want to say yes. let's just extend our hands to Dan and Patty. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we bless Dan and Patty Juster. We bless Tikkun Ministries. We bless their work in Israel. We bless their work in the earth. We bless their work in America. We bless them, Lord, with financial prosperity, Lord, to accomplish all that you have for them to accomplish. Lord, we bless them with clarity, with favor, with open doors, that they would accomplish all that you have mandated, all that you have called them to accomplish. Lord, that you would surround them, that you would bring others like us around them all over the earth. Lord, that today, tonight, from the intercession in this moment that would take place here in this little church in this insignificant place in the mountains, God, that there would be a significant shift right now in Jesus' name. Lord, that souls would come into the kingdom. Lord, that truth would be proclaimed, that understanding would come, that freedom would happen in places of confusion concerning doctrine over Israel, and that there would be a breaking down of replacement theology, that there would be a breaking down of anti-Semitism, Lord, that there would be many in Israel that come to the knowledge, to the faith of Jesus Christ because of this little intercession time right here in Jesus' name. Lord, not for our glory, but for yours. And that something would happen from this time of blessing, that fruit would grow, that a relationship would grow, that mutual edification would happen from this point forward, from Restoration Fellowship, from Pagosa Springs, to Tikkun Ministries, to Israel and across the nations. In Jesus' name.
You guys have imparted to us what we need to bring the fullness of the Gentiles in from Pagosa Springs. And we impart back to you acceleration, that time when the reapers overtake the sowers. You're coming into it. You've asked for it. You've expected it. We say it's time. It's time.
Amen. Dan, would you pray over us? Pray over the city.
I've got a word for the congregation. is this on?
Yes.
Okay. It's just so interesting. I think this church has the most Kleenex boxes around. Of any church we've been to. And but you just said, we need it, right? Well, I was crying during worship, so I'm so glad you had a Kleenex box nearby. But, you know, you look in the natural, you said the nation's coming, and they come here for the hot springs. I think that's one of the biggest draws. And I was looking at that card, and just something just kind of stuck out. With about 18 pools. I said you need this entrance fee, and you get to go into 18 pools, which is in Hebrew means life. And why did they? And also, they said something about all these different minerals. Maybe there were seven, but all these different minerals. And people come for healing into the springs, you know, places where there's, especially with skin conditions and things like that, is very, very healing. So I think just like in the natural, this place is being used and being prepared for being such a place of healing for the nations. And I came, you know, just, it's a, you kept saying the word breaking. And it goes along with that slideshow about grafting and that circumcision, is that there's a breaking that takes place before the healing where we can become one. It's being broken together that we can be
fused together into that oneness. And I think that this is one of the callings of this church, is that breaking and that fusing together in that unity that God is looking for. And I just see, you know, and I'm listening to different things. You say that different parts of the year, you're this many thousand people in the town. And then during the tourist season, goes up to 8,000. And this congregation is ebbing and flowing, but there is a solid core where people can come and get that healing. And so just keep supplying those Kleenex boxes in your worship team. I mean, it has a special breaking anointing. That's all I can say, is it breaking. It breaks and brings those tears of healing.
Breaks the yoke. Father, I just pray now for great blessing to be over this congregation. Your love, your fellowship in Yeshua. The grace of our Lord Yeshua, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace in the Prince of Peace. Give health and strength and long years and fruitfulness to the people of this community. Lord, bring the young people in this congregation into this teaching about Israel and the church. Let them be valiant in it. Let it be taught in the youth classes. Let it be exposed to the next generation. In Yeshua's name, amen.